ナモミョウホレンゲイキョウ、ナモミョウホレンゲイキョウ、ナモミョウホレンゲイキョウ。Hi everyone, thank you for being here, thank you for your practice, thank you for your support, whether it's liking and subscribing, which is a Bodhisattva act because it helps grow the Sangha, to purchases from the bookstore, the mandala store, the activity to support your practice, and patrons on Patreon or direct through PayPal. Namo myoho renge kyo. Thank you so much for your Bodhisattva work. This resource continues to get larger and larger. And for those of you who are new or returning here, it can be daunting to look for answers. So the tendency is to just, we're a society, not just in this country, the world is a society, MAPL, of IG, instant gratification. But I want to, I don't want that to stall you in your search for your path to Buddhahood, yeah? So there's a video on the homepage of this channel on YouTube teaching you how to use this resource, not just the channel, but what's available to you. Something that people either don't know about, because YouTube doesn't do a good job promoting it, or doesn't know how to use, and it's something discussed in the video, is the search function. 99 times of 100, I find that the questions that I read, comments, are about really whittled down to one or two key words or terms. And if you'll just put those key words, not a whole sentence, not I'm wearing blue and green socks this week and I'm doing this and wearing that and I'm going to go see friends and what do you think? Da, da, da. No, this isn't AI. This isn't GPT. This is just plain old search. So pick a word, pick two words, separate them with commas if you like. If one word is especially important, you can put it in quotes. And if you'll use the search, not the YouTube search, but the search in the middle of the home page, go to the home page, hit the icon, go to the home page, the channel page. And you know where it says playlists and videos and about and all. The last link in that is a little magnifying glass, and that's a search for what's in this channel, not all of YouTube. Maybe you put the word daimoku in there, or chanting, or relationships. And what YouTube will do is quickly present you with a subset of videos, podcasts, same thing on the podcast station, right? That have that word in the title, in the description, And that narrows, then you can go through a very relatively short list of, and in order of importance, right? Old search. You go, oh, there's exactly what I'm asking. Oh, that's not quite right. Let me scroll. Oh, there it is. Or watch them all. You'll get different perspectives on what that term is identified as in the teachings, right? Super, super helpful. And please go to threefoldlotus.com. One of the links that's also available on the homepage or of the channel, right, as links. And if you'll go there, you'll see you can get documents like definitions of daimoku. Dig down into daimoku and let's see here, defined. From the mandala to the standalone Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, to the characters individually, to what they sound like, and just a quickly one-word definition to help you understand. If that's not enough, you can then, that takes it apart a little bit more. There's so much information there. We talk about single-mindedly all the time, right? So some people, well, what should I be thinking? How should I enter into my chanting at the Butsudan? And so I created this. I said, well, think these thoughts with each character. Remember, I've often said to savor your practice. Take your time, right? It's not a contest. It's not a race. It's not, well, who can understand that? Namu myo ho renge kyo. And if your monkey mind is flying all over the place as you're doing that, try thinking about, I am present. Na. I am making this happen. Mu. From potential. Right? You're starting to, renge kyo. You're starting to understand, oh, this is what I'm actually doing when I'm chanting. I'm invoking Buddha-ness with each character. And then you can move with, and now that, you know, that starts to take over your thinking. And then you can let all of that go and simply, single-mindedly, meet Buddha, right? So there's all kinds of tools here to help you concentrate, to help you think toward your enlightenment. There's the core material study page on the website. There's just links to all kinds of basic questions. What's the Buddha self? What's the 3,000 realms chart? Now is not now. These are, these quiescent energy. What is that? Four noble truths, five aggregates, significance of Gangyo. Up at the top, Nirvana. What the hell is Nirvana? What's the lineage? What's human relationships? What about human relationships, right? So there's tons and tons of, again, this whole resource, the bookstore, the mandala store, the website, the podcast, these videos, they're all ways of, they're expedient devices. They're skillful means. They're ways of digging into our own opinions, ideas, epistemology. That's in there too. You can use that as a search word on this channel. And we can talk about what makes us tick. What is this connection between our mind, brain, body? The brain is like the interface between the mind and the body, yeah? But what is that mind doing? What do we mean when we talk about monkeys? Buddhism is in large extent about the how it is and how to modify it, right? The why, that's a circus. Why is a samsaric, self-ingratiating mess. When you find yourself asking why, you've given up. Truly. Ask how, and you'll be on the road to bettering your perception, your experience of life. Okay, let's continue. Quantum Life Buddhism, Threefold Lotus Dharma Sutra, A la Sylvain, or Sylvain, chapter 16. Probably, if not the most central to Nichiren's doctrine, this chapter. Central to Nichiren's doctrine is the Lotus Sutra Buddhism. Central to Nichiren's doctrine is his incredible study, lifelong study since he was 12 years old, left his fishing village and his family, and started studying Buddhism, the scholarship of Buddhism, mostly Tendai schools, where he was exposed to Saicho, Dengyo, Miaolo, Tendai, Ji, Zhanran, and on and on and on, deeper and deeper, right? They're in his letters, his Gosho. He wrote letters back to his mentors in those schools and converted them. No small feat. So Nichiren's scholarship, very broad, but coming back over and over again to what is plain to see in Mahayana the ultimate teaching of the Lotus Sutra. And in the Lotus Sutra, and we've talked about this already, these various chapters and how they address the capacity at the time of everyone, right? This assembly represents the world population of those, at least, who are endeavoring the Buddhist path. Mm. The Lotus Sutra is the ultimate teaching. It's without question. But within the Lotus Sutra, there are chapters that are very shoju, some shakabuku, right? Some are gentle and opening the eyes through of the Gohonzon mind through skillful means, stories, parables, yeah? There are seven notable ones, but there are more than that within the Lotus Sutra. They're quite celebrated throughout history. But for Nichiren, well, he's gone through all of that. He's at the Lotus Sutra. So the central part of the Lotus Sutra that really starts to break down, how do we do this? Okay, it's all well and good. This is the ultimate teaching, but how do we do it? How do we incorporate it into our head muscles, yeah? Our heart, mind. How do we connect them and express that innate, enlightened nature? How do we do it? This is a method, after all, yeah? And for Nichiren, the 16th chapter, where Shakyamuni finally, whether it's shoju or shakubuku, it kind of depends on your starting point. He really, in modern parlance, drops the mic. He makes a point here in the 16th chapter that if you didn't get it up till now, because he's been saying it all along, but it's like this stubborn tradition, historical, cultural, personal, societal clinging without knowing we're clinging. In the 16th chapter, he's just, I'm done. I'm done listening to this refusal to understand what I'm saying. And now I'm just going to lay myself open and go, look. And of course, we're talking about Maitreya's last question in the previous chapter. How could you have trained all these unfathomable, incalculable number of people in the 40 years since you yourself attained enlightenment? You haven't had the time. How'd you do that? It's not possible. I don't know. The Maitreya, along with probably everyone in the assembly, is still stuck on the multiple lifetime thing. Everything's in the past. How could you have had time to do this? Still, nobody is thinking, you know, the future is nothing but potential. And potential has no parameters. It has no limits. It has no numbers. It doesn't even have time. It's just next. And as I've repeated over and over and over and over and over, this idea of these bodhisattvas from beneath the Saha world is an expression of yet to grow, yet to manifest, yet to be, future, right? At some point, the muddy swamp has no lotus blossoms. It doesn't have lotus flowers. Until the seed germinates, comes up through the Saha world, the earth, if you will, then the water, and then, bloop, here it comes out of the water. What is that? I'm not sure. Let's watch it. Poof, lotus blossom. Oh, look at all those seeds. Those are you and I. future bodhisattvas. And because we're born in with karma to instantiate a sentient mind, human beings, the history of this occurrence, engine of life, has information already in it. And as we develop, and humans are the slowest thing to develop on the earth, this is how we get all these dumper loads of information put into our heads before we're even able to reason anything out, right? The same thing that keeps us from moving forward is also how we start with a leg up. These teachings, if those who are in the assembly honored their vow to promulgate, publish, and keep these teachings, then by the time we come around, or our great, 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 great sons and daughters come around, these teachings should be there in society, in the world, in the Saha world, for them to encounter, just like you and I encountered them. This is the work. This is the bodhisattva. And so we are bodhisattvas of the future, right? And we learned direct from Shakyamuni. I'm reading Shakyamuni, well, a translation of, right now. So yeah, he's teaching me. Even though he's been dead or extinct for 3,000 years, I'm rounding up, he is teaching me still. He taught Nichiren, right? Do you understand the rhetoric of the Lotus Sutra, of the teachings? Time is it's a weird, fuzzy, spongy thing in the hands of a Buddhist. Because we understand the engine of life, which is a moment to moment to moment to moment to moment to moment, right? We're not having to stretch out something over time, because time isn't that. Time is a momentary occurrence, reinstantiating from momentum, inertia. Where's your inertia going? Buddhism says, take that inertia and point it all toward its maximal life-affirming expression. Experience life to the full. Don't spend so much time worried. Let that fall away, the stuff that is not life-affirming, that's ugly, that's useless, that doesn't promote excitement, joy, amazement. That's life. The other stuff, that's, why are you worrying? It's gone. The past is gone. You mean it doesn't exist? No, I don't mean it doesn't exist. I mean, well, yeah, it doesn't exist now, because that's all we should be thinking about. Moment to moment to moment. I'm being, I'm being, I'm being. This is happening. That you're happening. That's happening. Wow, this is amazing. Look at all this cosmos happening right now. Well, you know, 300 years ago, 300 years ago is 300 years ago. Why do you want to drag it into the now? I got enough to worry about. I got enough to consider. I don't need to reach back into some, what? Warehouse of boxes of dusty, not, let it go, right? All right. Revelation of the timeless life of the Tathagata. Specifically use the word Tathagata here, because by now you should be aware Tathagata is another word for the engine of life. When did the engine of life begin? There was no time. Timelessness. The Tathagata doesn't require that there be a time. It simply starts to express. Once that expression begins, cosmos, at some point, that cosmos will whittle down, whether you're a CCC participant in Penrose's conformal cyclical cosmos, cosmology, which I think is a super elegant way to look at the universe, or whether you're a hardcore Big Bang, nothing existed before the Big Bang. Whatever. Whatever you want to label this process that continues to grow and expand and express in unfathomable ways, including you and her and me. Right? You go deep enough into biology, you just start drooling. You just, it's so amazing, right? Do the same thing in the cosmos. It's so amazing. There's no need for mysticism and magic when you see what the physical universe, the realm of forms, is producing from potential. And then knowing, as a Buddhist, that this is only a little bit of the potential. Potential has no limits. How incredible this whole entire process. From black holes and quasars and galaxies to your niece, your pet parakeet. All works the same. It all has the same source. The source is this process from quiescent energy through formations into the realm of forms. That's the engine of life. Read the Nindana. Read the consciousnesses. More key words, by the way. Pick up a copy of the, or download a copy of the Buddhism reference book. Look up Engine of Life. Look up what a moment is. Oh my goodness. Spend a few weeks pondering what a moment is. A Planck unit of time. Yeah. You can't. It's unimaginable. That's Tathagata. And a human expression or instantiation of or discovery of Tathagata is a Tathagata awareness embodied in the mind of a human being, a sentient mind. That's Shakyamuni. He ain't the whole thing. He's not a god. He's not a deity any more than you or I. But we have that power. We have the power to experience, observe, witness Tathagata. Everything else is just confetti, sparks. At that time, the Buddha said to the Bodhisattvas and all the great assembly, everybody, accept and discern, all you good sons and daughters, the veracious word of the Tathagata. Not me, the Tathagata. Understand the nature of all phenomena. Understand the engine of life. Understand karma. Everywhere, all the time. Time? Understand instantiation from potential. That's the discerning part, yeah? Accept it. This is how all things are. Again, he said to the great assembly, accept and discern the veracious word of the Tathagata. And again, he said to the great assembly, accept and discern the veracious word of the Tathagata. Voracious isn't about appetite. Voracious is about truth. The veracity of what is about to be shared. the truth. Then the great host of bodhisattvas, Maitreya, at their head, folded their hands and said to the Buddha, "World-honored one, be pleased to expound the matter, and we will venerably receive the Buddha's words." Because they're talking to a Buddha about Tathagata. Thus they spoke three times, repeating the words, "Please be pleased to expound the matter, and we will venerably receive the Buddha's words." This is the most formal exchange in the entire book. This is the biggie, right? Then the world-honored one, perceiving that the bodhisattvas thrice, without ceasing, repeated their request, addressed them, saying, "Listen then, all of you, attentively to the hidden, mysterious, and supernaturally pervading power, according to Chi Yi, or Tendai, secret meant that the one body of the Buddha is three bodies, and by mysterious he meant that the three bodies are in one," right? I've talked about the three bodies many times. They're keywords. Look up three bodies of Buddha. It's also in Buddhism reference. Spiritually or supernaturally pervading power, or power of spiritual or supernatural pervasion or ubiquity, is the function of the three bodies, or Trikaya, the Dharmakaya, truth body or law body, and the Sambhogakaya, the reward body or bliss body, and the Nirmanakaya, the mutation body or response body. Anyway, there's more under the notes here. Basically, the body is being used because we have such a clinging, craving idea about self that takes hold in the body ultimately, right? We've talked about that before. Shakyamuni uses the example of the body by taking it apart in three ways. There's a mental conjured body, right? There's an actual physical body. And then there's the body of Renge. Oh, I get how all of this is working. And I am being. I am a verb. I am not a noun. I'm not a this. I am a process. Moment to moment, moment to moment. Right? So there's the realization, the instrument of realization, and the vessel that's providing for this ability. Really, it's all one. But you could look at it as three different aspects of being, yes? This is the somewhat conundrum of the Saha physical world, which is itself inertia, momentum. Get it? It takes a little time. The supernaturally pervading power of the Tathagata, the engine of life, instantiation from potential. Watch this process in action. All the worlds of universal realms of influence, men and asuras, consider. Now has Shakyamuni Buddha come forth from the palace of the Shakya clan, right? That's what Shakyamuni indicates, of the Shakya clan. We have this great sage, Muni, and seated at the training place of enlightenment, not far from the city of Gaya, has attained perfect enlightenment. This Siddhartha Gautama guy has attained perfect enlightenment. He didn't go to Walmart and pick it up. He didn't wait for it to fall from the sky. He may have had all those thoughts, but ultimately, when he awakened Buddha-ness, he found something, a truth, that was so profound that he understood it was the basis of everything to begin with, including Siddhartha. that Buddha-ness is born, is the Saha world realm of bodies, form, instantiation of Tathagata, this all phenomenal truth, right? But my good sons and daughters, since I veritably inculcated Buddha, there have passed infinite, boundless hundreds of thousands of myriads of kodas of nayutas of kalpa. What I have awakened isn't unique. Pay attention to what he's saying here. What I have attained is not unique. It's been around since time without beginning. What I have attained is Tathagata through the sentient mind. Therefore, we call it Buddha, because it's a realization of a sentient mind, a realization of all truth. Remember the term Itai Doshin? Many in body, one in mind. Now, I'm not trying to get you to see the cosmos or the universe or whatever you want to call it as a big, huge brain, like a Boltzmann brain, right? I mean, if it helps you to visualize that, okay. But the point is, what we peer into as Buddhists is an all-pervading truth. There's not your truth, my version of the truth, her version of the truth. That's all samsara. The truth is the truth is the truth. It's a truth not because it's a truth. It's a truth because this is the way it is, that it works, that it all exists or doesn't. Quantum. What do you want to call quantum if we're not calling it quantum? See, labels, language get in the way. Just like the word truth has a ton of charisma to it, doesn't it? When I first started practicing Buddhism, even when I was preteen, I hated that word because I came from an exposure in society of other religions. And boy, did they manipulate with that word truth. But when there is, let's call it a condition, an unalienable, indestructible, indivisible, constant truth, condition, with zillions of potential tendencies, unfathomable, uncountable, shall we make up sands of the Ganges, happening constantly, all the time. For instance, suppose there were 500,000 myriad kodas of nayutas of asankhya, 3,000 great thousandfold worlds. That many universes, a froth of universes. Let someone grind them into atoms. If you're not already going, oh, come on, right? You can't think of numbers like that. You can abstract them. That's what he's doing. And you go eastward through 500,000 myriad kodas of nayutas of asankhyas of countries, and then drop one of those atoms. Suppose he thus proceeds eastward. What is eastward in that many universe? Is there a north, south, east? Anyway, proceed eastward till he had finished those atoms. What do you think, my good sons and daughters? Is it possible to imagine and calculate all those worlds so as to know their number? No. It hurts my brain to think about calculating those numbers. Maitreya Bodhisattva and the others all said to the Buddha, No. They said, world-honored one, those worlds are infinite. Or we might as well say infinite, because we'd never finish calculating them. It's boundless, beyond the knowledge of reckoning and beyond the reach of thought. Good on you, Maitreya, you're getting the idea. Not all the Sharvakas and Pratyekabuddhas with their faultless wisdom would be able to imagine and know the bounds of those numbers. And to us also, who are dwelling in the stage of Avairatika, the stage of non-regression in Buddhist practice. I mean, we're in this. We're committed to this practice. These matters are beyond apprehension, which is why we're confused, right? World honored one, all such worlds as these are measureless and boundless. Okay, so now I've broken your brain free from measuring time. That's the point here. So now that I've got you kind of dislodged from this idea of components of time, the 40 years that I've been enlightened, my lifetime as Siddhartha Shakyamuni, stop coupling that with Buddha. I understand why it's coupled, because it's something I have awakened, I've attained, I've found. But it's not mine. It's something beyond me. And it's all of you have the same access. They're not quite there yet. So he says, I have a little note here where I wrote, here is a full expression of Shakyamuni's expedient device of breaking the apprehension of time itself to indicate the unknowable age of Buddha as a primordial force. Tathagata, I should add that in there. Tathagata. Right? Add that in. I got to make this clear to everyone. Tathagata. You know, one of my favorite teachers, oh my goodness, the minute I start a sentence, I forget the name I'm about to speak about. Oh, that upsets me so. Anyway, he said in one of his dialogues, this, the first sound a baby makes. We're so egomaniacal about our children, our offsprings, right? We hear, oh, he said dada. No, he said mama. No, he said ta. Tata. Tathagata. The first sound out of a baby's vocalizations, right? Other than ta-ta. Ta-ta. I always thought that was fascinating. Thereupon the Buddha addressed all those bodhisattva mahasattvas, good sons, good daughters. Now I must clearly announce and declare to you. Here comes the mic drop. Suppose you take, as atomized, all those worlds where an atom has been deposited or where it has not been deposited, even the spaces between, the interstitials, and count an atom as a kalpa. Oh, here we go again. It's already hurting my brain. The time since I realized Buddha, and I would like to rephrase that, still surpasses these by hundreds of thousands of myriads of kotas, of nayutas, of asamkaya kalpas. And I'm going to reinvestigate that sentence. Because the way it's translated, it's misleading. Because it sounds like he's saying, well, it is saying, since I realized Buddha, like he, Siddhartha, has been around for this incalculable amount of time. But that's not what he's saying. He's saying, since I realized this Buddha thing, that Buddha thing has been around, right? Again, tathagata. So I'm going to find a way to make that clear, okay? From that time forward, I've constantly been manifesting and teaching. See, it's obvious. Manifesting, right? From potential, manifesting, and teaching in this saha world. Tathagata has provided this karmic instantiation from potential as living beings, sentient minds. And every one of those living beings, sentient minds, could realize Tathagata and be in Buddha, in their connection to Buddha, right? when you milk a cow and it has all these nipples, right? Teats. They're all connected to this udder that's full of milk. The milk that comes out of this teat is no different than the milk that comes out of the other teat. But the milk that comes out of this teat, you could identify, which is our samsaric mind, as one channel through which the milk comes through, the tathagata. And so we call that teat, but we could call it a Buddha connection, right? It's the same milk as that Buddha connection. So they're all Buddha connections of the one tathagata. See how language mixes us up? Let's go on. From that time forward, I've constantly been manifesting and teaching in the Saha world and also leading and benefiting all living beings in other places, times, in hundreds of thousands of myriads of kotas of nayutas of asamkaya, domains, teats. Good sons and daughters, during this time I have ever spoken of myself as the Buddha burning light and other Buddhas, teats, and also have told of their entering into nirvana, thus have I tactfully described them all. This is a complete admission, an annotation here, of his speaking of the many emanations as personages throughout time of this singular and universal Buddha-ness, tathagata. Here it is again. I'm going to nail this home for you guys because it's incredibly important in that it discombobulates the mixed mind of the body, the I, the self, as Buddha. That's a mistake. And it, the translations all fall forward, don't they? Good sons and daughters, wherever living beings come to me, I behold with a Buddha's eye, the mind of Buddha, all the faculties, keen or dull, of their resolve and so on. And I explain to them in stage after stage, according to their capacity and degree of liberation, my, the Buddha's, different names and the length of my lives, and moreover plainly state that I must enter nirvana. I also, in various tactful ways, teach the wonderful law which is able to cause all the living to beget a joyful heart. Good sons and daughters, beholding the propensities of all the living toward lower things, attachments, clinging, craving, so that they have little virtue and much vileness, being deluded about stuff. To these men, the Tathagata declares, in my youth, I left home and attained perfect enlightenment. But this is the Tathagata's expression through a human being, sentient mind, as a Buddha communicating this truth. But since I verily became a Buddha, thus have I been and thus have I made declaration only by my tactful methods to teach and transform all living beings so that they may enter the way of the Buddha. Good sons and daughters, all the sutras which the Tathagata teaches via the embodiment of Buddhas are for the deliverance of the living. Whether speaking of himself or speaking of others, whether indicating himself or indicating others, and whether indicating his own affairs or the affairs of others, whatever he says is all real and not empty air. Through the vehicle of Buddha, right? Oh man, I've got some revisions to make. I'm glad we're flushing this out. For what reason? because the Tathagata knows and sees the character of the triple world as it really is. To him, there is neither birth nor death, or going away or coming forth. It's just the momentum, the process, moment to moment to moment. And it's not a him. It's not a her. It's the process. It's the engine of life. Neither living nor dead, neither reality nor unreality, neither thus nor otherwise. Right? This can also be read as neither born nor dies or disappears or comes forth. It has no secular existence and no extinction. It is neither real nor unreal, neither thus nor otherwise. It's just a moment. It's the process of energy expressing. And the formations is that little bridge from potential to this, that, other, constantly. Momentum. At incredible speed, in incredibly fine, unknowable moments, one after the other. Unlike the way the triple world beholds the triple world, right? When you're in a samsara world of form, you think everything is a certain way. It is, it exists, it stays, it's permanent, it's, right? What's the saying? If you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail. The Tathagata clearly sees such things as these without mistake, because all the living have various natures, various desires, various activities, various ideas, and various reasonings. So, desiring to cause them to produce the roots of goodness, the Tathagata, by so many reasonings, parables, and discourses, has taught his various truths. Now, take all of your opinions and your ways of experiencing the world, your worldviews, and if you'll let me take them apart for a while, you'll notice that they're really all the same expression. The Buddha deeds, which he does, have never failed for a moment. Thus, it is, since I manifested Buddha, this Buddha has existed since the very far distant past, that the Buddha lifetime is of infinite asamkaya kalpas, forever existing and immortal as the cosmos. Whoomp! Is this not what I've been saying all along? That Buddha lifetime he's talking about is his experience of something that is transcendent. It is the Tathagata, forever existing and immortal as the cosmos. Tathagata. He says it. It's just the translation kind of wanders around a little bit and muddies the waters. So I'm not going to invent anything here. I'm just going to make that explicit truth and I'm going to nail it down, which is what he's trying to do in this translation. This translation is a little weak. I'm going to strengthen it. Okay? Good sons and daughters, the lifetime which I attained by pursuing the Bodhisattva way is not even yet accomplished, but will still be twice the previous number of kalpas. The work that I'm doing as a Bodhisattva, that you're doing, that I'm doing, that she's doing, that we're all doing in this practice, has a resonance well beyond this human lifetime, this Saha world. It has its roots in the timeless past. And our goal is to keep it growing and blossoming into the timeless future. But the only way we can do that with merit is to make sure that each moment we are instantiated, that this is what is in our mind, single-mindedly meeting Buddha. Does that statement start to grow in its significance now? We're not talking about stubbornness. We're talking about single-minded effort, mindfulness, concentration. I just made up a word, concentration. I like that one. I don't think I'll put it in the book, though. Good sons and daughters, the lifetime which I attained by pursuing the Bodhisattva way is not even yet accomplished, but twice the previous number of kalpas. But now in this unreal nirvana, I announce that I must enter the real nirvana, the parinirvana, in this tactful way that Tathagata teaches all living beings. Why does he say this? Because as I, Shakyamuni, whom you've all treated as the Buddha, oops, I'm simply an organ of, a teat of, the cosmos, the Tathagata, the realization of the cosmos. And my extinction, not the Tathagata's extinction, not even the Buddha extinction, but my Shakyamuni's extinction, Siddhartha's extinction, is yet another example of Tathagata teaching you about the end of things, the cycle. All phenomena arise from quiescent energy through formations into the realm of form and then decay, wear out, and dissolve right back into quiescent energy, potential, nothingness, no bag of Bob, box of Betty, no warehouse of tendencies, no gone, nothing. Just done. No mind, no consciousness, no Buddha, no extended visceral arm of Tathagata. Tathagata just keeps on happening. But this particular instantiation just came about to do some of the Tathagata work in the form of a Buddha amongst the people. And then it's done. And the work gets carried out by those humans still remaining, keeping that Tathagata lesson in mind, and we call those bodhisattvas, bodhisattva mahasattvas, if you will. All right. For what reason does this happen? If the Buddha abides long in the world in human form, men of little virtue who do not cultivate the roots of goodness and are spiritually poor and mean, greedily attached to the five desires, the skandhas, and are caught in the net of wrong reflection and false views, if they see the Tathagata constantly present and not extinct, they will then become puffed up and lazy, and unable to conceive the idea that it is hard to meet the Buddha or a mind of reverence for him. Why bother? There's already one Elon Musk. There's already one, pick a name, right? People just love to put their own lives, their own responsibilities, their own life meaning, and just put it on someone else. And, you know, if I ever need it, I'll know. There it is. I'll just go get some. Human beings, yeah? Therefore, the Tathagata tactfully teaches, no, K-N-O-W, no, bhikshus, the appearance of Buddhas in this Saha world is a rare occurrence. I got lots of edits to do. So why is this? In the course of countless hundreds of thousands of myriads of Kodas of Kalpas, some men of little virtue may happen to see a Buddha, or none may see him. And for this reason I say, Bhikshus, a Tathagata may rarely be seen. Unless you discover it in yourself, yes? Don't wait for one to move into your neighborhood. Be it. All these living beings, hearing such a statement, must certainly realize the thought of the difficulty of meeting a Buddha and cherish a longing and a thirst for him. Then they will cultivate the roots of goodness. Right? What will motivate you to go to your butsudan and chant and recite and beseech of yourself, Buddha? What will motivate you? If he's down to, if he comes through your neighborhood in an ice cream truck every week, I'll just wait till Friday. But if you know that there's no one around to provide Buddha-ness for you, that only you can awaken Tathagata within your own mind, aren't you motivated to do so? Nobody's going to do it for you, right? It won't come in the mail as a sweepstakes ticket. Therefore, the Tathagata, though he does not in reality become extinct, because that's the cosmos, yet announces his extinction through the vessel of the Buddha. Yeah? All right. This is a very profound chapter. This chapter motivated Nichiren constantly. And I think the more we study it, the more you can, you must imagine Nichiren thinking, holy crap. All of this is happening in every moment. How can I sleep? How can I let a moment go by without realizing? How, this is too big. This is too huge. How, I have to tell others. I have to assemble people to experience this. And I am telling you, my friends, you can experience this by yourself. But if you just one other person, get them to sit with you in front of your butsudan, have some tea to drink, whatever, no libations, of course, just something to keep your mouth from drying. Sit respectfully. If you can, kneel. My knees are blown, so I use a stool. And slowly and rhythmically, just start chanting. And you guys will, the two of you, and it could be more, but just the two of you, just in one other mind, chanting together. Oh my, I guarantee you will, what did we call it? You'll fuse with that mandala so quickly. And you'll sense being in the mind space of your Gohonzon mind. And you will be experiencing Tathagata, Buddha-ness. Just one other mind. Imagine a room full. Yeah. Very, 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 very powerful is our connection with the engine of life. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Thank you for listening. Take care of your health. All the links are in the description. See you next time. Oh, yeah. Bye for now.